Father, we're grateful for the technology that allows us to study your word together tonight. We're grateful for the living and enduring word of God. We're thankful for the book of Daniel and the hope that it brings of a sovereign king of all of the universe who knows the end from the beginning, has planned the end from the beginning, and does all things perfectly. We're thankful that this God is our King, but he is our Father as well, and he loves us and has sent his Son, this one like a Son of Man, to take upon flesh, to be a true man, a true Son of Man, to be the Messiah, to be fully God as well. And we're thankful that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Thank you for revealing the glory of Jesus to us, the darkness of our sin, the light of Christ to us that day, that time where you came, Holy Spirit, and opened our eyes. We're grateful for that. Lord, we need your comfort tonight. We are in a crisis in our world, in our nation. We're just pretty much shell-shocked, Lord, over this. I don't think we're, it's hard to put our mind around it. So we go about our business from time to time. We get a glimpse of it, and then it goes. So help us to have a right view of this whole COVID-19 situation. Help us to walk in the truth. Help us to put into practice, to put into practice the truth that we know, that we would rehearse those truths, and believing those truths would give us rest and would quench our anxiety and give us words to encourage others and help us to make decisions to love others and be kind to them and offer words of life. So we just need, Lord, to be given the grace to walk in the truth that we know. And Daniel chapter 8 will help us. So I pray to that end that it would help us. Lord, your word would encourage us tonight, and we would enjoy it. We would understand it. Lord, help us to have minds to understand and patience with ourselves, with a chapter like this, that we would honor each other with this conversation, and we would be patient with each other, and we would just be patient with ourselves, because we need to be, this is a very difficult passage. So help us to gain understanding. Daniel cried out for it. We cry out for it as well. We would be changed by your word tonight, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I was going to do a joke, but I don't want to offend anybody right out of the gates, especially in light of what we're going through. So I'll do it in a way that is not really doing my joke, because I just warned you that it could be offensive. I was going to say, hey, everyone, I mean, I don't know why it just took me 4 hours, and I really just read this chapter, Daniel chapter 8, over twice, and it just came together, and I know who the Antichrist is. I know what his last name is. I got this all figured out. And then I was going to say April Fools, but I don't want to offend anybody, so I won't say that joke. This is a difficult chapter. I have never been more overwhelmed studying a chapter in God's Word than Daniel chapter 8. But I put a lot of prayer and a lot of time into this, and I think it has been a great encouragement to me. Things are slowly coming together, so you really have to be patient with yourself as you dig into this passage. And I hope you have way more questions than you have right now about this passage when you end. That means you got somewhere. And in fact, I'll remind you now, what I'd like you to do, those who have joined us, we can ask some questions as best we can as we go through it, but to to email questions, because there's going to be a part two where we kind of bring things together and really hone it the second half and bring some thoughts together. So that'll work out well. You know, we are in an unprecedented, overwhelming situation with the COVID-19 virus. And I get it. You either look, it's on the one hand, some people think it doesn't even exist and it's all a conspiracy. And then on the other hand, you've got extreme reactions, and it's hard to know what the truth is and what to believe. But make no mistake about it, in many ways, this is physically devastating for many people. This has been emotionally devastating for many nurses and doctors at Ground Zero out on the East and West Coast, in Atlanta, and even in hospitals in the Twin Cities. They're ramping up, and this has been a devastating situation for some financially. If not for you, mm-hmm. praise God. But it has been a difficult situation. And I guess what God is calling us to do is to remember the truth. He's calling us to remember the truth of His word, to believe that truth, to get a hold of ourselves, to get a hold of ourselves and remind the people we love of the truth and of who God is and that He has a good plan for us and that we'll make it home safely to heaven. And we're called in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic to be faithful. We are called like Daniel, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in their trial, in their setting, at their time to be faithful. We are called to do the same. So may the Lord help us to take ourselves up in this truth and not get lost in the, okay, now I don't understand how this works. That's going to happen. But to really look at what we all should agree on, even if we have different eschatological viewpoints as to the main thrust of the passage, and not lose sight of that as well. As you can see, shared right here is a big picture chart of the book of Daniel. If you do not have this, if you're joining, just shoot me a text or an email. I'll send it to you, a digital copy of this. Okay, so if you we've covered 1 through 7. And already, and notice that the first 6 chapters were pretty easy because they were historical narrative, easy in the sense that they weren't these strange dreams. Right now we're in the dream section from chapter 7 through 12, where Daniel's having dreams and angels are interpreting those dreams and giving us revelation that's important for us today. I want you to notice specifically the break between Aramaic in chapters 1 through 7, or in chapters 2 through 7, and now we're back to the Hebrew language in chapters 8 through 12. So there's a bit of a shift between chapter 7 and 8, between these two visions, and chapter 8 then is in the Hebrew language. So 8 through 12 is really focused on the Hebrew nation, whereas 2 through 6 covers everybody but includes the Gentile nations in its scope and its message. So it's for us for sure, but specifically the Hebrew nation is being addressed. What will happen to the Jews? What's going to come of the Jews? Notice also the ruler. In our chapter 8, vision of the ram and the goat, we're in the reign of Belshazzar before Darius and the Medes and Persian Empire. Okay, so that's where we're at. And as far as a big picture, and I can go ahead and send this to you as we go. And let me remind you, some of you are new to this book, and to remind all of us, what is the theme of the book of Daniel? Well, here it is. I'll say it a couple ways. Here's the theme. The Lord God is absolutely sovereign over human affairs. and he will establish his messianic future forever kingdom. Okay, he will do it. And an arrogant God denying, the arrogant God denying dominion of man will be overturned. And God in Christ will, in his Christ, will reign in that forever. And in spite of present appearances, in spite of very present appearances, God is in control. He is faithful to his word, and we ought to remain faithful till the end and cling to our God. So this, that, and every chapter is a reiteration of that theme in different ways. And we've seen that time and time again. Now, in Daniel chapter 7, by way of review, just where we're at, maybe you guys can help me now and unmute yourself while I get up another document and share again. Let's go over Daniel chapter 7. Do you remember the four nasty animals, the four beasts, really monsters in Daniel chapter 7? Does anybody remember the first monster in Daniel chapter 7? Okay, we had in Daniel chapter 2, we had the head of fine gold, that was Babylon. We had the chest and arms in chapter 2, the silver chest and arms, that was Medo-Persia. We had the belly and thighs of bronze. That was Greece. Somebody needs to mute themselves. We got some kids in the background. And
you want to help?
Then we have legs of iron and feet of iron and clay, which is Rome, the Roman Empire, and then the reconstituted Roman Empire at the end. Now, in Daniel chapter 7, there's a vision again that is analogous to Daniel chapter 2. We started with the lion. And what empire is the lion again? Let's see if we can get some Q&A going and see if we can make this work.
Babylon.
Right. Okay, and how about the bear? We have the bear with raised on one side with three ribs in its mouth.
Persia.
Right. Yeah, the Medo-Persian Empire. Good. The Medo-Persian Empire. And then the leopard with four wings and four heads. In Daniel chapter 7.
Greece.
Yeah, Greece. And then we have that beast, the nasty beast with iron teeth and 10 horns and a small horn with eyes and mouth making loud boasts. And that, again, that beast was Rome and the reconstituted Rome. And there was a little horn. And then Daniel was like all interested in Daniel 7. He was all interested in. He was all interested in the little horn. He was interested in that fourth nasty beast and the little horn and what would happen in the end. And all of Daniel 7 is speaking about this little horn and how he would wear down the saints and. He was putting an end to law, and there's some clues about this little horn in Daniel chapter 7, and he was a nasty little horn wearing down the saints, but then there's the scene of the Ancient of Days and the fiery wheels of his all-knowing and perfect justice and his judgment, and he is going to bring judgment on this little horn, this boastful little horn. And he's going to break him, and he is going to slay him. And the timing of that slaying was when one, like a son of man, comes. And a kingdom is going to be given to him and to his saints. And the beast will be slain, and a kingdom, an everlasting kingdom, will be given to one like a son of man. And he will rule forever and ever. And so Daniel's got the little horn on the brain as we move into Daniel chapter 8. So we move into Daniel chapter 8. Daniel's got the little horn on the mind. He's wondering about that. And now 2 years have gone by between Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 8. And 2 years have gone by. And so what we're going to do now, I'm going to minimize this, is I'm going to go ahead and hopefully you'll be able to see this.
I think other people are trying to dial in.
Okay. Now, you should be able to, right now, you should be able to see the text of Daniel on your screen. All right, so take your Bible, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the text, okay? And we'll get a different color of pen here. I'm going to read the text. And I want you to, as I'm reading, I want you to engage with it. I want you to, and if you'd like to circle in your Bible, do that. I want you to write down key words that you hear, key words, repeated words that are going over and over and over again. And let's see what we come up with when we circle some of these key words and see the flow of thought as we go. And we're just going to read the passage. The best way I can say to the text is to read the text. So we're going to read it, but I'm going to just underline some things as I go. And if you have a Bible, you should be jotting notes down on some things that are repeated here. Maybe I won't give too much away as I go. So here we go. Verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Belshazzar, the king, okay, so this is before Belshazzar, bless his heart, got all cocky and saw the handwriting on the wall and lost his kingdom and died doing it. This is before that, a few years. In the third year of the reign of Belshazzar, the king, a vision appeared to me, Daniel, subsequent to the one which appeared to me previously. So, in other words, this is after Daniel 8 is after Daniel 7. 2 years, by the way. Okay? I looked in the vision, and while I was looking, I was in the citadel of Susa, which is in the province of Elam. And I looked in the vision, and I myself was beside the Ulai Canal. Then I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, okay, a ram. So we've got a setting here. This is more of the setting. A ram, which had two horns, was standing in front of the canal. Now the two horns were long, but one was longer than the other, with the longer one coming up last. I saw the ram butting westward, northward, and southward, and no other beast could stand before him. Nor was there anyone to rescue from his power, but he did as he pleased and magnified himself. Okay, so be looking for repeated words, repeated concepts as we go. Okay, well, so we've got this ram, and he's a powerful ram, and he's pretty tough. While I was observing, behold, a male goat. So now we've got a goat was coming from the west over the surface of the whole earth without touching the ground. And the goat had a conspicuous horn between his eyes. He came up to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing in front of the canal, and rushed at him in his mighty wrath. I saw him come beside the ram, and he was enraged at him. He struck the ram and shattered his two horns. And the ram had no strength to withstand him. So he hurled him to the ground and trampled on him. And there was none to rescue the ram from his power. Then the male goat magnified himself exceedingly. But as soon as he was mighty, the large horn was broken. And in its place, there came up four conspicuous horns toward the four winds of heaven. Out of one of them came forth a rather small horn, which grew exceedingly great towards the south, towards the east, and toward the beautiful land. It grew up to the host of heaven and caused some of the host and some of the stars to fall to the earth, and it trampled them down. It even magnified itself to be equal with the commander of the host, and it removed the regular sacrifice from him, and the place of his sanctuary was thrown down. And on account of the transgression, the host will be given over to the horn, along with the regular sacrifice, and it will fling truth to the ground to perform its will and prosper. Then I heard a holy one speaking. Trying to figure out why. Oh, okay. I think that's the ticket. No? Okay. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to that particular one who was speaking, "How long will the vision about the regular sacrifice apply while the transgression causes horror, so as to allow both the holy place and the host to be trampled?" Okay, so so this is kind of an interesting section, because he's hearing some more things in verses 13 and 14, but the vision proper is kind of over, and now you've got holy ones speaking, and they're saying, how long will the vision about the regular sacrifice apply while the transgression causes horror, so as to allow both the holy place and the host to be trampled? He said to me, so one of the holy ones said, for 2,300 evenings and mornings, then the holy place will be properly restored. Okay, so the simple outline here, verses 1 through 14, is the message of the vision. Okay? And then you're going to have then 15 through the end of the chapter, you're going to have the interpretation of the vision, or if you want to be fancy, we'll just call it another M, because we like that sort of thing, right? The meaning of the vision. So first then the message of the vision, and then the meaning of the vision. And the structure is equal. We start with an introduction in verses 1 and 2 in the message of the vision, and then we talk about the ram, and then we talk about the goat, and then we talk about the little horn. And then we go to the, and then we have a reaction. O Lord, how long? How long, O Lord? And then we go to the meaning of the vision. And again, we have an introduction. Just like we had in verses 1 and 2, we have an introduction to the meaning of the vision found in verses 15 through 19. And then, you guessed it, we interpret the ram. Yes, you guessed it. And then we interpret the goat. And then you guessed it. And then we interpret the little horn. And then, you guessed it, we have a reaction. We have a reaction. Okay, so with that in mind, let's keep reading with that basic outline. When I, Daniel, had seen the vision, I sought to understand it. And behold, standing before me was one who looked like a man. And I heard the voice of a man between the banks of Ulai. And he called out and said, Gabriel, give this man an understanding of the vision. So he came near to where I was standing. And when he came, I was frightened and fell on my face. But he said to me, son of man, understand that the vision pertains to the time of the end. Now while he was talking to me, I sank into a deep sleep with my face to the ground, and he touched me and made me stand upright. He said, behold, I am going to let you know what will occur at the final period of the indignation, for it pertains to the appointed time of the end. There's our introduction to the interpretation. Now we go to the ram. And I'm talking about getting to the point. Boy, the ram which you saw with the two horns represents the kings of Media and Persia. I mean, that is direct. I mean, that's not hard, guys. The ram which you saw, he tells us, represents the kings of Media and Persia. And the goat, the shaggy goat represents, you guessed it, what comes after Medo-Persia, Greece. The shaggy goat represents the kingdom of Greece, and the large horn that is between his eyes is the first king. The broken horn and the four horns that arose in its place represent four kingdoms which will arise from his nation, although not with his power. In the latter period of their rule, when the transgressors have run their course, a king will arise, insolent and skilled in intrigue. His power will be mighty, but not by his own power. And he will destroy to an extraordinary degree and prosper and perform his will. He will destroy mighty men and the holy people. And through his shrewdness, he will cause deceit to succeed by his influence. And he will magnify himself in his heart. And he will destroy many while they are at ease. And he will even oppose the prince of princes. But he will be broken without human agency. The vision of the evening. Okay, now we're, there it is. Now we're to the response. Okay. The vision of the evenings and mornings, which has been told, is what? It's true. But keep the vision secret, for it pertains to many days in the future. Then I, Daniel, was, it's a footnote that I don't know with the formatting, sorry. Then I, Daniel, was exhausted and sick 4 days. Then I got up again and carried on the king's business. But I was astounded at the vision, and there was none to explain it. Okay? Verses 1 through 14, the message of the vision. The introduction of it. Introduction, verses 1 and 2. Ram, goat, response. Okay? You get the structure. Now we're on to... And by the way, structure influences interpretation. Second part, the meaning of the vision. Introduction, 15 through 19, you guessed it. Ram, interpretation of the ram. Interpretation of the goat. And interpretation of the little horn. And then, yes, reaction. Daniel's reaction and our reaction to the vision. Okay, now, what I'm going to do next is just scroll right here, and I've got a place to write. And I want you to take yourself off mute, if you would. Oh, no. I'm going to have to get some troubleshooting on why this pen is shutting off on me.
So if you want to unmute yourself, and you muted your own self, you have to unmute yourself. And you should have the authority to do that now.
Yeah. So what I'd like you to do is, okay, what are some key words or some repeated words that you noticed in this text? And I'm just going to jot them down for us.
Came great or exceedingly great.
Good. Magnified himself.
Good. Great and exceedingly. Not a good color.
What about vision?
Yes, magnified himself.
I have
no idea. Saw a vision. Good. All right, good. What else? This is how you interpret. You get the structure. You get the context. We set the context for you. And then the structure. Okay, what is going on here, big picture? All right, big picture. We got boom, boom, boom. Now, what words are being used? Okay, what else?
A lot of directional words such as north, south, east, and west, and four winds of heaven.
Good. Directional words. I like it. So a lot of north, south, east, west type of words. A number of times. Very good. What else?
Symbol of the horns.
Yeah. Horns are all over the place, right? There's one horn. There's two horns. There's so the symbol of a horn is used a lot here. Good. What else?
Kingdom.
Yes. Okay. The concept. Yeah. The kingdoms are mentioned a lot here. Kings and kingdoms. Good. Anybody have some other ones?
Can they hear us? The animals are always doing battle.
Good. Okay, good. There's battles going on. And John, I think I can recognize your accent. I know that's John. John, what types of words, battle words, are used? Or anyone? Let's fill that out.
Haughty.
Buddy. Strength.
Power.
Power.
Trampling.
Excellent. Trampling.
That's shattered. Good.
Four times trampling is used. What else?
Shattered.
Charging.
Let's see.
Struck.
Yeah, struck.
Charging.
Charging. Struck, trampled. How about one, a D word?
Destroy.
Yeah, very good. Destroy is used all over a lot. And by the way, Bruce,
yes.
The battles are done by the horn. Horn is connecting kings with battles. Horn is the biblical symbol for kings doing battle. Very good on the horn imagery. All right, anything else? Any other words that you notice were repeated?
Thrown down to the ground.
Good. And I think this is another battle word.
Host.
What about the creatures are all different kinds of goats. Isn't that the kind of biblical symbol of counterfeit saints?
I don't know, and I may say that quite a bit. I didn't get much of a good take on why the symbol of a goat, why the symbol of a ram, except they have horns. And they're doing battle. But notice that they're not as grotesque as the creatures in Daniel 7. But they're getting beat up real good. I'll tell you that. They're getting beat up really good.
Maybe you got. What about what about like magnification and mighty and everything's mighty.
Yeah, good. And I think we talked about, and that's a big one, magnified himself. That's huge. That's four times. And made himself mighty. Good. What else? Anything else?
Sacrifice and holy place.
Good. So sacrifice. Okay.
So it looked like a man, the voice of a man, son of man,
Good. And so there's something there. He's repeating, man, look like a man, son of man. And you just after all that we did in Daniel chapter 7, you can't help but wonder, right?
Right.
What allusions are we making back to that son of man stuff that we studied there? Good.
A conspicuous or a small horn was repeated a lot, too.
Yes, good. Little horn. So a little horn, but then a conspicuous horn. So kind of both. I like that. Both of them were repeated. Conspicuous. Okay. All right. So there is a couple other ones that maybe I'll mention, but you guys got a lot of them. Very good. Almost all of them. The transgression was mentioned a couple times. Time of the end was mentioned two or three times with that final period of indignation. That was repeated a couple of times. But what's interesting, if you go back to the text here, I think it's really important that the one about magnifying, that we just bring out this very quickly. Just notice, this is very interesting but the ram pleased and magnified himself. The ram did. Oh, and then, you know, when he thought he was all that, right? He's really Mr. Big Shot. Then one was greater. And he got, and then the male goat magnified himself even more. And, of course, he's a bigger shot. And then, of course, the little horn magnified himself, but he's going to magnify himself equal with the commander of the host. There is every one of the kingdoms of man is magnifying himself, and each one to a greater degree, step by step by step, until we come to the end when one called the Antichrist will culminate all of these up and will magnify himself against God par excellence. The stepwise magnification and the blowing up. And it's interesting to me, that was the first thing you guys noticed, was the repetition of that word magnified. That is how you have to read these types of passages. You've got to not go to the commentaries. Now hear me on this. You know what? We think we already know what Daniel chapter 8 means. And I don't think that's fair. I think we need to play. I think we need to read. I think we need to read in its context. I think we need to have, brothers and sisters, a hermeneutic of surrender. And here's what I mean by that. We allow text to be king, and we allow the text to take us places where it takes us. Even if we don't like it, even if we don't understand it, even if we struggle with rejoicing in it initially. But we ought to stay there. We ought to stay in the text until we can praise, until we can worship with the truth that God has revealed, not the truth that we want it to be. So we're trying to let the text speak as we go through this passage. We see this culmination of these things. Now, if you think about the kingdoms, and I think it's right to call them kingdoms, they magnify themselves. They're prideful. These are aggressive kingdoms. These are destructive kingdoms. These are strong kingdoms. These are human kingdoms. And there's an increasing pride. There's an increasing power that we saw even manifest in some of the metaphors in the statue. Okay? So what we're seeing here in this first section is this. How long, O Lord, how long before you overcome the prideful, destructive, and sinful kingdoms of this world? Will this last forever, Lord? How long, O Lord? This is what the angels cried out together. This is the angels asking that question. Daniel can't answer that question. He's thrown up in the toilet. He is so sick at the horror of Daniel chapter 8 that he's sick. And he still doesn't understand. The last verse, he's still scratching his head. After the angel said, we got to give this guy some understanding. Don't you think we ought to be patient with ourselves a little bit when we come to this kind of teaching? Have some humility. See the big picture, which is this, in our lives and our suffering. How long, O Lord? Will you delay forever? Will the unrighteous triumph over the righteous? Will we ever be vindicated? How long will I be a doormat, O Lord? How long will I be misunderstood, O Lord? How long will I live in fear because of the curse of sin on viruses in this world? How long, O Lord? If we are not disturbed, if we are not saying, how long, O Lord, when we come to a passage like this, I think we're missing the key point in some of the details that we see. No, we are to be reminded that this, even in this chapter, Daniel even needs to be reminded, I think, it is so horrific of what it predicts against the Jews, written in the Hebrew, talking about the future of Israel. His people, the beloved people that Daniel loves, and he's saying, will it last forever? And the answer is no, it will last for an allotted time. Allotted not by man, not by these beasts. They don't get the final say. They are, each one thinks they're all that, and each one finds someone more powerful than the last one. And there will arise one more proud and more powerful than all of them combined, will raise himself as equal to God, empowered by Satan himself. And God will say, okay, is that the best you got? And he will win. In history, in this world, it will not last forever. God has allotted this. God has bound it in. God is sovereign. He will win in the end. He will win in history. And he will win in just history. He will win in our histories. He will win in the history of Grace Community Bible Church. He'll win in your family. He'll win in your life. He's going to win even in this situation with COVID-19. It doesn't matter. The greatest evil the world has ever known will be coming, and he will win in history, and we will reign with him. Now, that's the big picture, and this is what you're seeing as we go through this. For the balance of our time, why don't we then now back up and let's start and see how far we can get through teaching now, right? Teaching the text. I want you to see the glory of the detail of this. Brothers and sisters, this was written and prophesied before it happened. This is a prophecy of the ram of Medo-Persia and of Greece, and then even of real individuals real kings in the exact number and the exact locations and the exact directions. Brothers and sisters, this is written with such incredible detail that it is impossible to be luck. That is why the liberals have to place this as written much later, not at the time of Daniel, or else this would be predictive prophecy. And if that were the case, then God, Yahweh, God, and they would answer to him. This was written when Belshazzar was still reigning, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, the head of gold, the lion was still around. This is before, written before. This is a prophecy. I'm telling you that, so when you look at these details, you're seeing the glory of that. All right. It's written in the third year of the, verse 1, the reign of Belshazzar. His vision appeared, as I say, 2 years after chapter 7. He looked at the vision, and he was looking at the citadel of Susa, which is in the province of Elam. Now, I'm going to do something a little different now. I'm going to switch here. To here. Okay. Maybe. Jim, are you locking my control or what's going on here? Oh, here we go. All right, now we're back. Okay, thank you. So now I'm just going to share this with you. Let's look at some maps as we go through these verses so that you can see how cool this is. So let's start here, and we'll do that. And please give me some feedback. Are you able to see this? Okay. All right.
I don't think you can hear us. Okay.
All right. So
I can hear you, Don.
I can. Verse 2, I looked at the vision, and while I was looking, I was in the citadel of Susa. Okay, so I don't think I might have to do it this way. Let's try it. Pen. So look at this. There is. Oh, that didn't work. I'm going to escape and try this.
It worked.
I know you can see it. I'm going to try to see if you can see my pen now. This might be better. Okay, so notice here's Israel right in here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's Israel. And right over here is Susa. Okay, and Elam, do you see that?
Yeah.
So now Daniel is transported over there. He's transported over to the heart of the Persian Empire. Okay, he is transported there to Susa in Elam, beside the Ulai Canal. That's 350 miles east of Babylon. This is the headquarters of Cyrus. Guys, this is the headquarters of Cyrus before Cyrus had a headquarters. This is predicting the nation. This is predicting the capital of the next empire and the location of it. No wonder the liberals are saying, no, this wasn't written when Daniel was there. They're panicking, or else God is God. I mean, believe this. I mean, can you believe this? He transformed to Susa, the capital of the Medo-Persian Empire. There it is. I circled it. Right there. There it is. There's Daniel. He's transported over there. Okay? Now, move on. Then I looked at my eyes and looked, and behold, a ram which had two horns was standing in front of the canal. The two horns were long, and one was longer than the other. With the longer one coming up last. Okay, so there's two horns. Of course, this corresponds to the bear in Daniel's vision. This is Medo-Persia. And remember, the bear was raised up on one side, right? And now we have one horn that is longer than the other. Why is that? Because the Persian Empire, there's two of them. That's why there's two horns. But it's the Medo-Persian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire. Cyrus was a nasty dude. The Persian Empire was dominant of the Medo-Persian Empire, and there it is predicted by the longer horn. I saw the ram budding westward, northward, and southward, and no other beast could stand before him, and nor was there anyone to rescue from his power, but he did as he pleased, and he magnified himself. So again, Cyrus and the Medo-Persian Empire was a powerful empire, very proud. They did what they wanted to do. They didn't consult God, and no one could stand before the Medo-Persian Empire for a while. Now, from the west, from the north, and from the south. Well, west is west of Susa is Lydia. So the west is Lydia in Asia Minor. That's west. North is the Media, is Media in Scythia, north of Susa, from where Daniel is. And so that's the direction. Lydia and to the north, and south is Babylon and Egypt. There's Babylon right there. They took and down into Egypt, and that's south. And of course, guess what happened, guys? Cyrus defeated Lydia first, and then so on and so forth. And the liberals can't stand this. The detailed, literal, let me say it again, literal interpretation of the symbol. Is this symbolic? You bet it's symbolic. Is there a literal meaning right beneath the symbol? You bet there is. That's what's driving the liberals up the wall. The literalness of it. Lydia, and then Media, and then Babylon to the south. Cyrus defeated, and so on. And no one could deliver from Cyrus. And Cyrus magnified himself, which is kind of amazing. Cyrus was just a puppet in God's hand. Hey, Cyrus, why don't you go down there and allow the Jews to rebuild their temple? Yes, master. I mean, God is sovereign over even Cyrus. Well, let's read on and see how it goes for Medo-Persia. I saw the ram, we got that. Okay, verse 5, while I was observing, behold, a male goat was coming from the west over the surface of the whole earth without touching the ground. And the goat had a conspicuous horn between his eyes. So now we got a goat with a single horn. And of course, this was the leopard, which was Greece, because the angel told us, we've read the chapter, so we know, we got to guess. We could guess. We could figure it out because the leopard had four wings and four heads. And we're going to find out that there's of the four that come from this person. And what's now go ahead and unmute yourself. From what you know about Greece and what you know about a leopard and what you know about having four wings and what you know about you're going over the surface of the whole earth without touching the ground, what do you think that talks about Greece in verse 5?
That it conquers fast.
Yeah, that's a swift conquest. The leopard, Greece conquered quickly, and that's why that feet wouldn't even touch the ground. So quick. Amazing how it ties in the last chapter. Now he's got this conspicuous horn, and he came up. This horn is called he. So it's a king, this horn, he came up to the ram that had the two horns in verse 6, which I had seen standing in front of the canal, and rushed at him in his mighty wrath. I saw him come beside the ram. And by the way, this goat came from the west. Look at your map. What's the west of Susa? Way over there is going to be Greece. Look at west of Sardis. See Greece there? Can't come in from the west. The liberals are sweating. He came up to the ram and that had two horns, which I'd seen. He rushed upon him. He came up beside the ram and he was enraged at him, and he struck the ram and shattered the two horns. Goodbye, Medo-Persia. And the ram had no strength to withstand him. And so he hurled him to the ground and trampled on him. And there was none to rescue the ram from his power. Just like there was none to rescue, from the ram as well. And there will be none to rescue from the little horn. And you know what? There will none to be rescued from the final little horn, except at that point, when all power of man is not able to overcome and there's no hope, then God himself will be the one like a son of man will come and rescue. Notice the word rescue. He will rescue us. That is the gospel, brothers and sisters, tucked in the word rescue in Daniel chapter 8. Now, we keep going here, although there's none to rescue by human power. And then the male goat in verse 8 magnified himself exceedingly. Okay, so now, so who is this single horn who conquered quickly in Greece, who conquered very quickly? Okay, unmute yourself. Who are we talking about?
Alexander the Great.
Alexander the Great. And this dude swept into Asia Minor, swept this way, Asia Minor, and boy, 40,000 men in 334 BC and conquered all of the Persian Empire, all India. And he did this in a short period of time. 2 to 3 years at the age of 33, very fast. But he didn't last long. He kicked the bucket. God was not impressed with Alexander the Great. But you know what? Who knows? Our God is so merciful. He probably came to know
God.
He probably came to know God. Who knows? God is so merciful, but God is not impressed. Yes, Bruce?
Oh, I just said you were mute there for a second, but it was says our connection's unstable.
Yeah, I think it's your connection.
That would be typical for this house.
Okay, can you hear me now?
There we go again.
You're fine.
Okay. So, as soon as he was mighty, verse 8, the large horn was broken, and in its place there came up four conspicuous horns toward the four winds of heaven. Now, the four conspicuous horns are analogous to the four heads of the leopard, and those four horns then are going to be the four generals that come out of the Grecian Empire. Okay? And we know those four empires, and let me just maybe write them down. Ptolemy, okay, in Egypt. Okay, so maybe I'll go ahead and is that able to project? Can you see that?
Yep.
Yeah.
So you've got down here in Egypt, you're going to have Ptolemy, one of the generals. P-T-O-L-E-M-Y. Guys, pay attention to the kings of the south. Pay attention to the kings of the north. They are the big players. They are the ones of these generals that last. So, you've got Egypt south, and you've got Antigonus, who's going to be here. And, of course, this is in relation to Persia, the heart of this, that is going to be in a huge area of that includes Syria and Palestine. Let me go here. Sorry, I'm on the wrong thing. Sorry, this is the right side. Oops, there we go. Now we're on it. So we've got here, yeah, Egypt, that's Ptolemy. Sorry. And then we have got this whole area. This is kind of amazing. Antigonus or Seleucus. And you want to write this name down. Seleucus. And Antigonus was the original fourth, but Seleucus killed him right away. Or he was killed, and Seleucus took his place pretty fast. So Seleucus is the second main general that took over, and he has a huge area, including Syria and Palestine. Seleucus, this guy controls Syria and Palestine in a huge area. In this whole area here is covered by that general, and then you've got Cassander. In Turkey, and so you got Cassander is going to be right in this area, right in here. So you got these four generals that are making up these basic areas, and then of course over here is home base for Greece. Over here was Susa was home base for the Medo-Persian, but over in Greece you got the home base, and that was a guy named Lysimachus. Lysimachus, and he was the home base guy in Greece. And then you got a guy here called Cassander in Turkey, and you got Ptolemy here, this area, which extended further north, is going to be more northern. Seleucus, and very powerful. That was one of the generals. And so those are the generals that were mentioned. And so then what we're going to find out here, and we're going to be done for today here. But after I do a couple application points, just very briefly, we've already done that, but we're going to get into the little horn. But just notice that out of one of them came forth a rather small horn. Okay. So out of one of these came a horn. Out of one of these generals came a horn that grew great. And so we're going to wait to see who that is until next time as we really study more, of the little horn in part two. But you're going to be fascinated by this as we look carefully at history and how I think the Bible is working here and how the text is leading us. But I just want to remind us to not lose the big picture here. We are meant to ask and get to that heart of the point. You know, the reaction, guys, the reaction between the actual meaning of the vision and the first part of the vision where he's just explaining the vision and giving the message of the vision, right at the heart of the passage is that reaction of the angels. How long, O Lord? If you're looking for a title for the sermon, that's it, Brian. How long, O Lord? That is Daniel's, that's the angel's response. Daniel himself, he's sobered. Look at verse 27. you guys. Then I, Daniel, was exhausted and sick for days. And guys, he wasn't exhausted and sick for days because the eschatology was so difficult. He was exhausted and sick for days, yes, because he longed for understanding. And there's a part of that that's true, and we're going to dig. But brothers and sisters, this is horrific. Every king, every one that magnified, listen very carefully. Daniel was in captivity, let this sink in, for 50 years in Babylon. Stolen from his family, stolen from his nation, stolen from his temple, persecuted, was faithful, rose up in Babylon by God's grace. 50 years he was in captivity, not worshiping in the temple. How long, O Lord? And then the guy gets a prophecy of the wearing down of the saints in chapter 7. Yes, there's beauty, but there's beastliness. And then he finds out in chapter 8 that there's going to be future kingdoms that are coming, all future to Daniel. I wonder if the coronavirus is done in a week. Oh, praise God, so I can get back to my sports. Daniel, what he looked at is kingdom magnifying itself and being brutal after kingdom magnifying itself more and being brutal, and king, the little horn, magnifying itself even more and being brutal against the people of God and persecuting and killing and annihilating the people of God. Kingdom after kingdom after kingdom, to the point where he's sick to his stomach and the angels got to cry out, gosh, Lord, I'm paraphrasing. How long, oh Lord? I mean, good grief. Does this sound like health, wealth, and prosperity to you? Where is it in the Bible? I'm appalled by it. When I come to this passage, sobering view of the future for Daniel. Yes, by faith he would look to the hope of the coming king and the promises of the Messiah, and that this one would be broken and the time would be limited, and we're going to get to that. But don't miss it, that even when he got to that, even when he had that, he was exhausted and sick. He was severely oppressed. He was persecuted. He was discouraged. And the psalmists pick up on this. How long, O Lord, is the title of the Psalms? It could be. It is the refrain of the Psalms. It is the refrain of the people of God that cry out in prayer. How long, O Lord? It is Psalm 42, which I'm going to preach on Mother's Day, where the psalmist is thirsty for the living God. He's so thirsty for the presence of God, but he's drowning from the pressure sent from God in the people around him. Yes, they're people. Yes, the people are persecuting him, but he knows it's from the good hand of God. He doesn't see God's hand divorced from it, and he longs for God's presence, and he has to get himself, and he has to hold himself and say, look, why am I doing this? Why am I thinking like this? Put your hope in God, for I shall again praise him. This is the refrain of the Bible. The people of God needing the Spirit of God to hope in God in the midst of darkness. But in the end, make no mistake about it. Bring your best against God. Bring all 10 plagues. Oh, no, no. Let him try another plague. I got to show myself big here. Pharaoh, you're nothing. But wait a minute, they're making us do more straw, and the work is hard, and we're... Hold on, Moses. Hold on, Daniel. Hold on, GCBC. We are in exile. there is a future of oppression and persecution, but in the end, God will win, and the oppressors of God's people will be broken, and one like a son of man and fully God will come to set up a kingdom, and we will reign with him, and his kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom. And that, I think, is the main point of Daniel chapter 8. And of course, we haven't even scratched the surface, but I think we're getting the idea here. Daniel chapter 8 is about the middle two kingdoms. It is about the, not Babylon, but Medo-Persia and Greece. Now hear me. Out of Greece, out of the four comes a little horn. He's going to be terrorizing the people of God for 2,300 days. There is a different little horn in Daniel chapter 7. That little horn comes out of the fourth kingdom, out of the ten kings, not out of the four, and he will terrorize for a lesser time. And if God did not shorten the time for the sake of the elect, and you know the rest of that verse. But God is sovereign, and he will hold us to the end. So we'll carry out the details then in part two as we look at the interpretation, then emphasizing the little horn. Well, hope that was helpful. I enjoyed it. I hope it was clear, and we'll try to work on the technology and get it to be better. We'll troubleshoot with everybody. And what I would like to do now is have three of us pray and take volunteers, and then we'll put them in order, and then we'll pray. And together, and I will close after that. I won't pray a long prayer, but I will close, and then we'll pray together, and we'll see each other, I hope, again soon. I miss everybody very much. So who would like to pray? Any volunteers to unmute themselves and pray?
I'll pray.
Was that Don? Why don't you mention your name? Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I need two more.
All right.
Anybody else want to pray?
I can pray, Jeff. This is Dan.
Dan? Okay, one more. And then I'll close.
Can I?
Sure, who is that? Andrew, is that my Andrew?
Yeah.
Okay, Don, Dan, Andrew, and Pastor Jeff. Okay, let's go to the Lord and let's pray together. Don,
Father, we're
in that order. We'll go Don,
we're
Dan.
We're grateful. Andrew, Jeff. Father, we're grateful tonight for your word, and that the truth, Lord, we see the truth. We put together, Lord, in your providence, and that you are sovereign, that you're creator, that you are the only God. You're holy and you're righteous. Lord, help us to see your holiness through this. And help us to be faithful. Father, you've given us your Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us, and we are grateful for that. And as we see, even in the days to come, as Paul has even so warned us, that things will wax worse and worse. But we know that you will never leave us nor forsake us, and that you will keep us
And we're grateful for that. So we praise you tonight for this time and your word, this book of Daniel. We see how Daniel stood fast for 70 years being in captivity and being even in the lion's den. He trusted in you. And Lord, that's what we do. We trust in you, and we want to be strengthened. We want to grow in you, and we want to know you better. And so, Lord, I pray that you would, your Holy Spirit would work in us tonight, each one of us, and that we would be drawn closer to you and strengthened by your Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Father, I too echo that prayer that you would draw us closer to yourself, closer to our Savior, closer to your Spirit, who we depend on for our life and breath and all things. Lord, we are grateful for the message of Daniel chapter 8, that as the message is repeated over and over again in Scripture, you are the sovereign King, and you rule over all. Mm-hmm. Lord, nothing takes you by surprise, because you have orchestrated and ordained all things from beginning to end. And Lord, we know that in that you are good, and you are wise in all that you do. So pray that we would trust in you. We pray that you would not only draw us closer to you, knowing these things, but closer to one another, even though we are apart physically right now. We pray that our church family would be on our minds and on our hearts and in our prayers, and that we might draw closer as a body to one another. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Lord, please help us to just trust you at all time. And thank you that we can study Daniel tonight. And please help us to just trust you in all the hard times. And please help everyone to just feel good and not get the coronavirus. And please help all of us to just draw closer to you, and please help us to just learn about you, not only on, like, Sunday, but just, like, every day of the week, and amen.
Amen. Father, I'm grateful for Grace Community Bible Church, for my brothers and sisters, thankful for that we're family, and that we are in this together and in this trial together and in this strange situation together. I'm grateful for that. Lord, I'm thankful that that you have given this blessing that we can bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So I'm grateful that Shadrach had his Meshach and Abednego, and that we have each other. Help us to continue to exercise great wisdom in the days to come, and even as a church, to know how we can minister to those outside of us and minister in love to them and in love to our neighbor within the church as well. Continue to protect us, Father. Continue to make us bold and not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation. Pray that this chapter would unfold to us, that you would give us illumination and clarity. There's still things that are we don't understand, Lord, and we pray that even as we study the next bit of time together, that we would grow together and ask great questions, and we could get some real good clarity on Daniel chapter 8. We're thankful for it. We're thankful for this book and the gift we have to have the Word of God. So go before us in the next couple of days, Father. Be with those who can't be with us tonight. And we praise you, Lord, that you are sovereign, but not only sovereign, but wise and loving in your distribution of it. Thank you that you will come for us. Thank you that you're with us now, even in the lion's den. There's a third man in the fire, and there's a third man in the den, and his name is Jesus. He's one like a son of man, and he's here in this chapter as well, and he's the one. Men cannot rescue us, but there is one who can and will and has rescued us, and he will soon crush Satan under his foot. He has crushed Satan, and he will soon crush Satan underneath his foot. We're thankful for predictive prophecy. We're thankful that you can tell the future and you ordain it in such detail. What a God you are. There's none like you. Make us to worship in light of this chapter. Make us to hope in light of this chapter. And make us to be faithful like Daniel, who got up again and carried on the king's business. He got up again and carried on the king's business. Make us to get up tomorrow and carry on the business that you called us to carry on. By your grace, with our eyes on the finish line, together. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.